from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that just, like I said, that sounded a bit like Boysenberry, not Boys and Girls and Friends Beyond the Binary. And another part of my brain said, okay, what does that have to do with, and I said, well, it just sounded like Boysenberry, which is a hard, really hard one to say, word to, oh, were you going to say a hard word to smell? Because I love the smell. I don't even know what, could we get back to this maybe during the intro? We'll have a Boysenberry discussion. Was there a Boysenberry in the strawberry shortcake universe? I don't know. Oh, why don't you know? Well, because actually it's time to start a sleep podcast. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And I also want to remind you, don't forget to support one another and support yourselves. There's links in the show notes to organizations to help you with self-care and to help the members of our community, the Black members of our community, because Black lives matter. So check out our show notes. You can do that in any podcast app. Here's a word from the sponsors that let me bring you this show twice a week. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to this show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show. Not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear, because it's where I celebrate the listeners who supported the sponsors. That gives me a chance to bring you this podcast twice a week. And I want to thank Freak Tit, who supported Daily Harvest, shared with Daily Harvest and me on Twitter. And I also want to thank the anonymous person who got a Helix mattress, who said, I didn't get you. They said they sent an email to Helix and let them know they heard about him on the podcast. So please be like the anonymous person who emailed Helix, or Freak Tit, who supported Daily Harvest. Tag them, tag me in a social media post, especially companies like Daily Harvest, Helix, Sun Soil, Brooklyn, and make sure if you support the sponsors, let them know their partnership is valuable. Let them know you heard about them on the podcast and you appreciate the fact they help bring you the podcast that puts you to sleep. And then when you support them, let me know about it so I can try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need, whether it's for self-care, mental health, supporting the Black members of our community, enacting internal and external change. Links to resources will be in the show notes. The third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support. And when you hear this, this is the tail end of our fundraiser for the Waterwheel Foundation. And the Waterwheel Foundation, a great foundation, supports a lot of amazing organizations. If you still want to get in on it, just go to sleepwithme.com. patreon.com/waterwheel, and join me and the other listeners who are supporting the work they're doing. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out in the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson, who sounds like a near fall, wrote the theme song,
edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend
also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer,
runner, 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 runner.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation, and Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. And what do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts you're thinking about, so things on your mind, from the past, present, or future, feelings, any emotions that might be coming up for you feeling-wise, or physical sensations you're feeling. So thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, maybe changes in schedule, work routine, or just other stuff. You know, it could be inside, it could be outside. It could be seasonal, or it could be situated. Whatever it is that's keeping you up, I'm here to take your mind off of that. And here's what I propose to do. I'm going to try to create a safe place where you could set all that aside. Like I said, I'm going to smooth it, I'm going to pat it, I'm going to rub it down, I'm going to say safe place. And then I'm going to smooth it and pat it and rub it down again and then smooth it out and then pat it. Because that's what I do. I don't have that level of bed routine, but if I did have, I'd say, well, could you smooth that and pat, rub, like, shouldn't you pat it last? Smooth it, pat it, rub it down, say safe place, smooth it out, then do a welcoming pat. Okay. Okay, then what do you, oh, then let's try to create, establish a safe place. Another technique I'm going to use, I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use a lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, which is how my voice sounds, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up, like I said, sometimes my mixed up words, I realize those are real words, like boysenberry, which again is not spelled how I would think to spell it, and smell it, I don't know. Also, this is a fair question, is that a real thing, or is that one of the great corporate berries that have been, is it a corporate berry? I've heard of boysenberry pie, but I didn't know if it was like boysenberry pie. There's no berries are included in this pie, but it is delicious. And I said, well, it is delicious. So we'll come back to that. But yeah, basically, here's the thing. If you're a regular listener, thanks for coming back. So good to see you. Like, what should I do with your feet tonight? Okay. By the way, I like that, I'm really impressed. Okay, do you want your feet in or, okay, what about 1 foot in, 1 foot out? What if I build a tent using your toes for airflow, and then if you decide you want full, then you could just pull your feet back and the tent will close? Okay, Yeah, or I could do it with this book here, and they could just kick the book right out of bed. And you could do, maybe that would be something empowering. Maybe that could be a new thing we all do. You see, hold on, Scoots. I thought you were introduced. Okay, well, I'm just working with the new, usually I talk to the new listeners, but this is an idea for regular listeners. You say, okay, Scoots, this sounds like one of your wild ideas. It is. You take a book, preferably a hardcover book, you probably not unabridged, but you know, I'm thinking about something like one of those Reader's Digest abridged summaries of a bunch of books, because those are usually pretty sturdy. You know, or a Funk and Wagnalls encyclopedia. You know, I can't get enough of saying Funk and Wagnalls. And you set it up like in an A-frame situation. Parents went away on a week's vacation. Yeah, no, this is different. So at the foot of your bed, and then you use that A-frame as a superstructure to tent the end of your blankets. Then you could place your feet either on the air hole on the other side of the A-frame superstructure or on either side. You could decide. And what will that accomplish, Scoots? Well, one, airflow. Two, this is more important, actually, than the airflow. Gives you a feeling of control and options. Okay, Scoots, tell me more. Well, okay, so one, you know, okay, the bed, like, depending on what's at the foot of your bed, obviously got to think about that. Because when I have a guest, I don't have a guest room. And when I set up my guest bed, it's actually at the foot of my bed. So I couldn't do this if I had a guest laying, like sleeping on a mattress on my floor. So just in case anybody's in that situation. So you have the book there, the bed book, now available from the Sleep With Me store. It's an old book that goes in your bed. It's a bed book. But so then you could say, okay, well, I like this, my feet, I like this feeling of airflow with my feet, or I can put my feet in, like you could put your feet out. You'd say, hey, Toesy Poos, you want to go look outside out of the comfort and blanket? Go on down there, peek around, see what you see. And then they could come back. But then you could also, for a couple different reasons, you could say, well, I prefer to get my feet now fully enclosed in my comforter and blankets. You just kick that the book out of there. Or it could be something symbolic or less than symbolic where you say, you know what, this book is, I'm fed up with this airflow. And then you don't have to kick the book. You just push it forcefully out of your bed. Or it could be a way you could do, like, release some other feelings. If you have a partner that's sound asleep and snoring, you could say forceful pushing of this book out of my bed symbolizes the strong feelings I feel, and now I'm ready for bed. It could be one more part of your bedtime routine. So that's just an option I thought of just now. Now, if you're a new listener, holy moly, I'm late to the game already. A couple things to know, which maybe you figured out. This is a podcast that barely ever gets to any points, doesn't go anywhere, but it kind of does. It takes forever to get there. So if you're new, try to barely pay me any attention. And I know that's hard when you're new. Like, you really have to learn that, oh, wait, he's serious. He doesn't want us to pay any barely attention. We could pay attention to him. But we don't need to. And if you try to pay too much attention to me, that's when it's like it doesn't work out. Because they say, when is this show going to get started? Like, so just kind of loosely consume the podcast. Though this idea, I mean, like you might see right through me. But for me, this could be, I mean, this is a free idea that could work for everyone. I mean, this is groundbreaking stuff for me, putting a book at the end of your bed. And it could be, you see, that's a free idea. You know, who else, I don't remember any of those other famous inventors or, you know, astronomers or whatever, philosophers. Maybe some of them gave their ideas away. You see, well, Scoots, I don't know if you could really put your ideas, you can't put a price on them. Right. You mean that's a priceless idea? No, It's just hard to put a price on that, the idea of putting a book at the end of your bed. So it's priceless. No, it's hard to price it. You'd say, well, it's a free idea. Yeah, maybe that's the right price. Okay, thanks. Oh, so barely pay any attention. So this is a one of the few podcasts you don't really need to listen to. That's one thing. The second thing to know is that this isn't really a podcast to put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you drift off, not really to put you to sleep. I'm here to be at your bedside and to take your mind off of stuff and just be here talking and while you fall asleep. Like, I'm gently walking at your side while you drift off. And that's kind of why the shows are about an hour. It gives you plenty of time to fall asleep. And then if you can't sleep, you know I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to be here to the very end, episode after episode. So if you can't sleep, I'm here too. Or if you wake up or whatever. So those are a couple of things to know. Now, the other things, if you're new, that can throw new listeners off are a few things. The structure of the show. Like, so listening to the show, that throws people off right away. The idea that I'm here to put you to sleep and not really, that throws people off. Creaky dulcet tones and my inability to speak throw people off. So those are all natural reactions. Because I think I forgot to say this podcast definitely does not work for everybody. I don't even think it works for the majority of people that listen to it for 1 to 3 times. But most regular listeners, which is a pretty big number of people, they said it took 2 or 3 tries. Now I listen every night, or now I listen whenever I need it. Because I realized all the stuff. Scooch was serious when we said don't listen to him. And it made sense when he said, well, your ideas aren't priceless, Scoots. They're just hard to price. Because I don't do, like, what do you mean? Pre-disc. Yeah, we don't know whether to discount. I'm not discounting your ideas. I'm just wondering what the discount we would put on your idea when we price it. Like, how to build that in. Okay, that sounds familiar to other tangents I've been on. It probably is, Scoots. Probably those were hard to price, too. Structure. That's the other thing that can throw new listeners off. So show starts off with a greeting. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, so that you know you're welcome here. And ideally I can maintain the rapport and trust I'm trying to build to create a safe place, though I don't always achieve that. I'm not perfect. That's what I'm striving to do. So then there's business. So the business is about 4 to 8 minutes long of me rambling. Even the business, I try to get to the point. I try to make that a little bit flashier because that's how we bring you the show twice a week. Then after that is the intro, which is the intro is around from minute, like whatever, 6 to minute 20 or so. It could be from any of those minutes to any minutes in the, you know, but the intro is about 12 to 20 minutes, which we're already like probably 12 minutes into it. So we're going to be longer than 12 minutes tonight of me trying to introduce a podcast. 800, 900 times I've tried to do it and not successfully summed it up because it's hard to price. It's hard to describe. But the other thing for the regular listener is the intro is part of the show. It's part of their wind down routine. The whole thing is to ease you off into bedtime. So some people start listening as they're getting ready for bed and they're doing their wind down routine. Some people listen when they're in bed. Some people are listening during the day while they're working or whatever, when you need a break. But the idea is the intro slowly gives you some space from the day and like starts to relax you or distract you. And then we'll go into a bit. Then there's business after the intro. And then I'll do our seasonal series, episodically modular series, Odder Things. So that's the structure of, and then, oh, then there's some thank yous. So that's the structure of the show. And then, yeah, some listeners skip the, like 2% of listeners start the show around 20 minutes. Then another like 2 or 3% of listeners, maybe up to 5%. set a sleep timer for 30, 45, or 60 minutes. Some people listen all night, though I don't know if this version is the best. Like, the Patreon versions are a little bit better to listen to all night. But so that's, you could kind of discover how you're going to consume the show. Like, at first, just see how it goes. Like most listeners said, it didn't work the first time, didn't work the second time. I was skeptical. Then I realized, I was skeptical for, like, it's like, oh, my skepticism was paid off. For once, my skepticism paid off because I was skeptical and doubtful, and then I fell asleep. So that's it. I guess I was going to talk about boysenberries because I've heard that, like, term. And you'd think it would have an O-I in there, but I think it's like a Y, B-O-Y or something, N-E-S or E-N-S, boysenberry. But I always feel like a boysenberry is like a marketing berry, or like I said, a corporate berry. And then it makes me think of strawberry shortcake, because she ran with a lot of berry-based creatures or beings. So I don't know if there was a boysenberry. But, you know, I always think of like the Belle Biv DeVoe song. So I would try to say, well, boysenberry rhymes with that. They're one of their more popular songs, but not spelled the same. So normally I would try to spell it B-O-I, because then I'd say da-da-da-da-da in full effect. You ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Let me try to spell it. Listener, I must warn you that I can't spell B-O-I, you know, so that's normally how I spell everything. But so where was I? Oh, so I'm not exactly sure. I mean, sure, I'll get messages after this. Oh, yeah, boysenberry's a real thing. I say, well, okay, in my mind, it looks like somewhere, and here's one thing you need to know about me. I'll eat raspberries, but I'm much more of a blackberry or those type of, that side of the berry family. I appreciate a raspberry. But I don't know, like, I think because I picked berries, you know, as a kid, there's some pricker bushes we had access to. And so we would pick those and eat those. So I don't know. Then I always think of like those like more wild blackberry type berries. So I don't know if a boysenberry is like either one of those. I mean, you know, you should know also, I'm a big pie. I love pies. Holy pie fan. Put me, you know, 3.14, hold the phone, because, you know, I'll have 3.14 pieces of pie. Make one cold, make one for breakfast, and a la mode, one with whipped cream, one with a la mode. So I don't know where my point was there either. Oh, boy. But yeah, so I guess here's the thing. The reason I make this show is because you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place of respite. And ideally, whether it's this podcast or something else, you deserve something that makes bedtime less stressful and maybe something you can feel neutral about or look forward to. And I hope the show can provide it, but I know it doesn't provide it for everybody. So if it doesn't, I hope you find something that works. The other reason I make the show is because I've been there. I know how it feels in the deep, dark night, tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. So I just want to help because I know how it feels. And I know it feels L-O-N-L-E-Y sometimes for me. Or frustrating or whatever other words you would, like I can't spell. Or boysenberry. I can't say boysenberry because that's too many. Anyway, so I'm here. I appreciate you coming by and checking this show out. I work really hard. I yearn and I strive. I really want to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to bring this podcast free on a regular basis.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
All right, everybody, it's time for our episodically modular with slight touch of seriality series that's produced not here but elsewhere. It's a historical account I was able to maintain, acquire. I was gifted. It was sent to me by someone so wise that I'm turning the show right over to them. Without further ado, I'd like to turn the show over to Emma Otter. Hi, everybody. This is Emma Otter. I'm an otter named Emma, and I'm recording a series of accountings of something that happened in my town, some things that were very odd, and that I call the otter things that happened in my, you know, it's in my, like, it's not in a diary, though. Because to me, you know, no offense, but you say, oh, Emma has a diary. And I say, no, this is I'm a budding journalist, I'd say. Audio journalist, ideally. So just so you know, but I'm Emma Otter. Nice to meet you. I live in a town in a swamp, like a smaller town, not a small city, but a town. And, you know, we live in the greater swamp area. Like, you may be familiar with some of the bigger cities like Hensontown and River Bottom. But we're out on the edge. You know, in three directions is the greater swamp area that we know of. And then in one direction, we're right up against the border of the place beyond the swamp where we're not allowed to go. And there is things beyond there. You know, I haven't been beyond there, but there is a thing called the Visitor Center and a bog walk, and it's separated from the swamp by a road with a tunnel. And there's mysterious, like, vehicles without drivers. It's giant vehicles that sometimes go on the road. And we do know that... the head of our resource, our community resource department, Leon, the bullfrog, who is also an important member of our community, has been there. Mostly asking, to get to me. So I'm Emma Otter, and I'm in middle school. I have a family, my mom, my dad, my sibling, and then my older brother, Tefe. He's in high school. And he kind of knows everything and knows everybody and has the best. He says, I'm the smoothest otter, you know, that's ever was. But I also have three friends, all, you know, all who could consider themselves my best friend. Or maybe now I guess I have four friends. And, you know, they know where, you know, wherever they hold in their heart that they are and I am in our friendship, they're correct. And I'll describe them in no particular order. So I have some friends. I have a friend, Elijah, that I call LJ. Another friend, Vaughn, that I call V sometimes. And then my friend named Willow. And we have our new friend that we met recently, Billy. And when we met Billy was when we played this game, a role-playing game called Bards and Bunnies. And one night after we played, Willow went home, but Willow went on a journey. And I'll tell you in telling you these stories that in the end, all will be well. Things will be odd, but things will be just because things are odd doesn't mean they're well at the same time. So all will be well, even when things feel and seem, or you say factually, they are odd. So I want you to know that as well. So where was I? So Willow, when we said we had been told Willow went to the big city and recorded an album, and they'd even discovered some discarded copies of Willow's album. Which, you know, Willow's in middle school. There are, you know, successful middle school musicians across the swamp, greater swamp area. But it was kind of surprising because Willow hadn't told us about it. And then the album, a lot of the songs in the album, passively, aggressively, or directly, kind of made fun of our town. and the people in it, including me and our friends. So we were disappointed. We also felt like, well, this is odd. This isn't like Emma. At the same time, before we knew about the album, we were looking for Emma because we thought, you know, with the lore of the Big Bunnies, that maybe Emma got caught up with a Big Bunny type thing. And we went and looked for Emma, and that's when we met Billy, who's a bit being like a bit like a beaver, but with a duck's bill, more or less. But I say, well, that's a giant, it's a pretty big bill, but it's like a, like right size for Billy. We also learned that Billy has powers, the power kind of like singing from within her bill or throat and then to active singing. Much like in the game Bards and Big Bunnies, she has magical or superpowers or some sort of energy-based power that's beyond our understanding. And when she sings, she can make time slow down, she can move objects, she can amplify songs and kind of communicate, because that's kind of where we found out last week that Willow was somewhere, wasn't gone to sell an album, which we had thought, but was somewhere and kind of needed us to come help her keep all as well. She was involved in some sort of odd confluence of events. And we said, Billy, do you know, because Billy had contacted her through a tape player playing backwards, but we'll get to that. We said, Billy, do you know where Willow is? Meanwhile, now Willow has a family. She has her mother, Frances, and her sister, Dari. And Frances at first said, well, I don't understand why my daughter would move away and start a music career without informing me first. While that seems normal for some teens or preteens, it doesn't seem like Willow. And she refused to believe it even when they showed her. They said, well, this is the album she recorded. It was discarded. They played something that supposedly sounded like her. It was a song she had sung in a talent show. But Frances just refused to believe it. And then she had thought she had been in contact with Willow through some wind chimes, because she's a bespoke wind chime maker. She also had commercially made wind chimes. And Frances had become pretty convinced that she was in contact with Willow and that there was Big Bunnies around, and that maybe a Big Bunny was having, and this is maybe the conclusion we had, that Willow was with a Big Bunny in a recreation of our town. It was maybe a smaller size down or something. Anyway, but at this point, Frances is really starting to wonder, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Willow did move away and start a music career. Dari, Willow's older sister, is also trying to help her mom, trying to manage. She also has a friend, Babs, that her and Tefe had gone with. And then now Babs has moved away, apparently. So Dari's like, oh, there is something odd going on here. But I just wanted to catch up. I'll catch up on more. But if you've never listened to one of my audio broadcasts before, that's fine. You can listen to these in any order. That while there is a seriality, I make sure to catch you up on the seriality so that you can listen in an episodically modular way. So I'm happy to be here, and I'm also happy to introduce, you know, maybe our most famous resident. Also to remind you, all will be well. All will be well. But when you hear this voice, you know everything will be well. It's Mr. Antonio Banderas. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone. As ladies and gentlemen, the boys, the girls, the friends beyond the binary, everyone in this greater swamp area, it's time for Otter Things Splish Splash. Wow, thank you, Antonio. Thank you so much. And I look forward to playing a game with you later. Thanks so much. And this is Otter Things, and I'm Emma Otter reporting. And when I last talked to you, it was the evening, and Leon, our head of community resources, had just headed, he had to slowly put together, well, there's something odd going on beyond the swamp. They're not telling us everything about Willow. I think they know something. Then the discovery of the albums for Willow. Everything tried to, fit together too well, and it was odd. You know, Leon's gut said it was odd. And Leon eventually discovered that through a series of deduction and intuition and investigation that the Willow's albums were fakes, that there was no music on the albums, that the only music was on one thing, and it was just a changed version of the recording of Emma at years ago. I think they call it auto-tune or something. And that it was just a recording of Emma from show and tell, talent show. How come they don't have journalism? How come you can't do, if you're listening and you're a kid out there in the greater swamp area or someplace beyond the swamp, maybe do some journalism as a talent for a talent show. People may not like it, but they'll appreciate it one day. Or that's what I keep telling myself. But so Leon had realized, okay, there's something odd here, something going on in the place beyond the swamp after the bog walk in the visitor center. And I think they're connected. Why would anybody else fake it? So Leon snuck in, first snuck across the road to the place beyond the swamp, then actually swam next to the bog walk instead of walking on the bog walk, which led to the visitor center, and waited until some people were leaving work, because people work in the visitor center. It's some sort of greater swamp community resource authority thing going on there. And so Leon snuck into the building, and the first floor looks it's kind of a rundown area, like a cover. And then snuck down a few levels, which again, each level got a little bit more polished and a little bit more, but even the third level down was still a cover, at least to Leon, who said, okay, well, this is looking like an office where they do basic studies of swamp, greater swamp area, and bird call analysis, or, you know, anything. He said, okay, well, but then Leon saw that there was like a stretching room that stretched downward, and he said, okay, I got to sneak in there. But as Leon was trying to sneak in, he realized that the door was needed a key. And then the head of the people that watch over access to the visitor center said, hello, Leon, you're not mighty late at night to be wandering around our visitor center. And he was with some assistants, and Leon said, oh, yeah, you're right. And then they went back and forth, and Leon was trying to play, well, you know, I left my hat somewhere or something. And then Leon looked it down. And meanwhile, now, while Leon was talking, he was making eye contact with everyone. But at the same time, and this is, you could use this maybe if you need it, Leon was untying Leon's shoes with his heels. And then he said, okay, well, might as well, where you need to escort me out of here. Oh, my shoes are untied. And here in our town, maybe the greater swamp, we have this thing called everybody ties your shoes or reties your shoes. It's just something we are taught as kids. If one person's shoes untied, and it's a part of community building, but it's also a smart thing. You say, okay, untie and tie your shoes. And everybody that's ever lived, that we know of, says, oh, okay. So Leon said, oh, even adults. So even it seems like childish to maybe someone that doesn't live here, but you say, oh, everyone does it. So Leon said, oh, we got to stop and tie our shoes. And since it's my fault, I'll tie your shoes. And this is kind of something different from town to town. And Leon said, you know, I'm a civil servant, and so they said, all right. In our area, this would not seem like an odder thing to have another adult tie your shoes or to stop and untie and tie your shoes. And Leon said, did you know, like, he's very good at casual conversation. So he said, did you know I was like, I'm the fastest shoe tier? Do you remember? And actually one of them said, oh yeah, you were on the high school shoe tying team. And so Leon started trying to, he goes, yeah, I'll speed tie your shoes. You won't even be able to see my hands moving. Now, meanwhile, what Leon did is like tied all their shoes together. And then as he was doing that in like their ankles and everything, he tied his shoes too, for real. And then grabbed the keys off of the key band, you know, the key holster from the person, and then ran and unlocked the stretching room. And then they didn't realize it. They just thought he grabbed their keys. So they stumbled, and he used, like, you know, fishing knots and stuff. So they weren't about to get their shoes untied anytime soon. And so he jumped in and went in the stretching room, locked the door behind him. You know, did the old thing where you put the key in and you bend it so it stays in there so you can't unlock it again, and headed down. And then he was on a journey. He went down to, like, another level. It was just offices, like office space, like cubicles, they call it, like where you don't get your own room. You just have a desk with some walls around it. Then he went down another level. And it was more offices. And he said, this is like not odd. I guess this is like some sort of off, like a office building that descends. Then he had to go all the way down to the end of the hall. Then he finally said, well, this isn't it. But he like did some, he's deducting. He said, well, he started to look at the patterns on the floor and the traffic patterns and determined that there had to be some sort of hidden door behind one of the office bookshelves, and went, found that door, went down another level. But it wasn't anything. It was a big cafeteria like you'd find in a school or a big workplace, particularly in our time, like the 1990s. And so he said, okay, well, it's like a cafeteria shut down for the night. Then he went past the cafeteria. Then again, he had to find like another, like you said, oh, okay, there's, why does this cafeteria have two sets of freezers? Of course, because one set of freezers is fake. It's just a pass-through room. Passed through that room, and then he found a dormitories, and he said, well, that's weird. There's dormitories. So this is for workers? Maybe workers, I'd say. And then he was in the dorms, and he could have sworn he saw singing. So he's running from dorm room to dorm room, listening. And he could have sworn he heard the song Step by Step. That's by New Frogs on the Block. And he was like, wait a second, is that Step by Step? And he was running through his steps. And finally he came in a room that looked like a kid's room, it had some drawings on the walls and that stuff. Now, right as this was happening, we were in my basement of my house, Billy, Vaughn, LJ, and I. And this was right when, like last time I was telling you, we were playing this tape backwards, we were listening to it, and we were hearing, like, say, like, that we were supposed to, and then we said, we kept playing more and more, but eventually Billy's power battery, like, the battery was stuffed itself as Billy's power, the battery ran out. And we were like, okay, wait a second. What was that song? The first few songs we knew, but then we were like, are these made up songs? Like, there was something like, we said, okay, sense, a sensibility? Like, one sense as strong as, and we were like, wait a second. We were like, wait a second, I don't know. And then someone was like, no sound, size, sounds. And we said, no sound, size down. And then Billy said to size down, she showed her like the Bards and Bunnies thing. Like, this is like size down. And we said, okay, with the no sound, size down, no sound go. And then we said, then Vaughn said, wait a second, no sound, something. So there was something in there about up and down, like in the Silent Tower. We said the Silent Tower. Like, remember the Southern Swamp trilogy, and then we tried to write our own adventure based on it. And then we said, oh, yeah, that was what that tower that grew up and down, and it was not, it looked like it was made by hand, the part that grew up, but it really was organic. And it had all, like, oh, yeah, well, that was, like, so ripe for building an adventure, because you could go up and then you would discover at the top that you had to go all the way down. That was real adventure. And Vaughn said, though, that's where the Silent Realm was. And we kind of forgot. We said, the Silent Realm. And Vaughn said, yeah, where there's something in there and a power, like some sort of mysterious power. Remember, we didn't know if it was magic or otherworld power. But that in the lower world, you couldn't communicate by sound. The sound was amplified and decreased at the same time or something. And so you had to communicate. Remember, that was like the part of the, you guys didn't read the backstory I wrote? We said, oh, yeah, but can you refresh our memory? And Vaughn said, okay, like, there was a wizard, again, that was the one who found the part going down. And the wizard tried to create the part going up. And when the wizard did that, the whole town, because the wizard was going to do it as a monument. This was the humans, back when there was humans. This is that myth. And, you know, there's a tribute to humans and humanity. It was a human wizard. And then the entire city and the wizard got sucked into the Silent Tower, and that became the Soundless Realm. And eventually, well, in my backstory, they learned to communicate through telepathy, but that was like that was one of the many stories I wrote. Okay, so what was your point, Vaughn? I said, and Vaughn said, "Well, that sounds like size down, go down. Like maybe it's like a." And then we looked at Billy and we said, "Is there a place like that?" And Billy kind of stared at us and kind of nodded, "Size down." Size down. And we said, okay, well, that's odd. And then we said, well, how do we get there? How did they get there? We said, well, those weren't really, that's Vaughn said, that's what I was writing the backstory for. We still didn't know where, like the tower. One theory is that the tower is a single being. The other is that it's a collective being. Another thing was that it's a force, but it was definitely a living thing, like some sort of entity, and it had incredible power. And I said, well, could it have just been a power source? And Vaughn said, well, it was a portal. Remember in one of the books, and we said, oh, yeah. And yeah, those one of the portals was to the Silent Realm. And then LJ said, well, what if it's what if it's something like it's not, there's no tower. It's before the wizard discovered it. And maybe it's a small something. Maybe it hasn't grown, size down. And we all said, huh, that's spot. And we said, what about that, Billy? Were we on to something? And Billy kind of looked at us and nodded again. Now, meanwhile, while we were talking about this, and then Leon said stopped hearing the singing after it had wandered in to the one room that had that looked like it was a kid's room or a preteen's room. Leon said last heard the like singing down the hallway. Leon found through a broom closet, of course, and then passed. They said, "Look, passed a bunch of brooms and all that." And then an office that had tons of computer equipment, then down a staircase, and then a storage room. The chief eventually found this glowing spiral staircase leading down, further and further down. And the glowing felt so close, but always far away. And then eventually the leveled out. And then Leon saw something glowing and went towards it, but then heard something shuffling behind him, someone shuffling with shoes that didn't have shoelaces. And then they sang, it was another frog, and it sang a famous bullfrog lullaby that put Leon right to sleep, and he fell right asleep. So that was odd. Now, the next day, we're over at Francis and Dari and Willow's house, and Francis had spent most of the night on the couch trying to make sense of this album and paying the fine, and she was awoken by the arrival of her ex, Lenny, who showed up, and Lenny said, "Hey, I'm here to help, here's some breakfast, have some breakfast." And Francis said, "What are you doing here? Like, I don't think we, like, really, and Lenny said, "Don't you know, like, tomorrow's Community Resource Day? So I thought I'd give you some support since the town's probably going to be pretty upset. I heard everything about the album and all of that, and I just wanted to help you get it all figured out, because everybody at town's going to be probably pretty and have strong feelings about that. Your daughter made an album making fun of the town and everybody in it, and most people." And Frances was pretty, like, she said, "Yeah, but I'm more concerned about Willow moving away and finding where Willow's live. Like, why, like, they still don't understand why Willow wouldn't at least keep in touch with me. And so I'm having feelings about that. You know, I'm trying to just reassess my parenting style and wonder where the communication or how I didn't create an open enough space for Willow to be heard about her hopes and dreams." And Lenny said, "Well, that's why I'm here to help. Like, that's never been your strong suit." And Frances, in her mind, said, "Yes, it has. But I think it's good," Lenny said, "that you're accepting that maybe we have to figure out a way together to communicate and get in touch with Willow about her new career and her album. You know, so we'll figure it out together. We'll get in touch." And then Dari had woken up. And Dari saw Lenny and rolled her eyes. And Lenny said, "Hey, Dari, can I talk to you?" And Dari said, "What do you want? What are you doing here?" And Lenny said, "I'm here to help you and your mom." And Dari said, "Well, you've helped a lot by not, you know, and Lenny said, "Well, I'm here to help. Your mom needs help right now." And not eye rolling and judgmental tones. And Dari said, "Well, I got to get out of here anyway. I got stuff to do." And Lenny said, "Well, it's Community Resource Day, so we all have to go to the Community Resource Day event." She said, "You got to be kidding me." And then Lenny said, "Go in your room and get dressed for a Community Resource Day. I realize with all the hubbub you forgot about it, but it's our most important day in our town. And we're going to be there to represent, and it's a requirement, so I don't know what you want." I guess Dari said, "Yeah, I guess you're right. I do. It is a requirement of living in our town." And I'll explain that in a second. This is Willow telling you that. But And then Lenny said, you know what, and take down these posters of these, like, musicians you look up to. Especially that poster, that otter, like, otter band. Jug bands are for, because jug bands are for people that drink from jugs and do the laundry outside. And Dari said, if you haven't looked, we do our laundry outside. And he said, well, don't drink from any jugs, is what I'm saying. So take down that poster. It glamorizes jug drinking. And Dari said, they're playing the jug as a musical instrument. It's a jug band. And he said, that's a waste of a wash tub. If you got to do your laundry outside, then for Lenny said, you got to drink from a jug to have an empty jug to play. So take that poster down and respect your mother, and no more music in this home while I'm here. Dari said, okay, I guess. Now, meanwhile, all of us realized it was the next day. Like, last you left off with me and my friends, it was a night. But we all went home, and our parents all told us, tomorrow's, we realize you're down about your friend Will making fun of you and making fun of the town, but tomorrow is Community Resource Day, and we have these seasonally, and this, but it's not super important, but anyway, so, so we all had to get ready for it, and you have to wear your best clothes, and it's actually really, unfortunately, normally, it's a very upbeat event, but we did know that it was going to be really embarrassing, because the songs, even the song titles that everybody in town knew about each of us that Willow had written songs about, or whoever wrote the album, they all really made fun of us. So it was really, really, really embarrassing. And not something we were looking forward to, but normally you'd look forward to it. So the Community Resource Day, it's like a, so everybody in town comes, even people that don't live in town proper come, anybody that considers themselves a member of our community. And we live in a community based, we all contribute and we all, like, that's kind of the values of where we live. Everybody's a part of things and we're all interdependent. And we all rely on one another as part of being in the swamp and living off the swamp. It's like you have to prepare for winter. And everyone has to work together. And that's even what our game Bards and Big Bunnies is about, like protecting community resources and sharing community resources. And Community Resource Day is kind of like one of the symbolic days where we remind ourselves of that. So it starts off pretty intense. Because you go, like, there's a fair afterwards. I'll tell you about the fair first, because that's the fun part. You know, there's rides, there's treats, there's games, there's music, there's laughter. You know, there's comedic performers. You know, there's shoe tying events and leaping events, dancing, everything you'd want as a kid and even as an adult. And everybody kind of lets loose. It's on a Friday, like if you go by the calendar that, it, like, that I've learned about as a journalist. So then you celebrate on Friday. You don't have to go to work or school. But the first part of it is a little bit more serious and somber. That's why there's so much release afterwards. So every member of the community of every age, now if you're a little baby or something or a toddler, you can be escorted by whoever is, you know, whoever takes care of you. But every person, you get a symbolic acorn and you hold it in your hand and you wait in line. Everyone's randomly chosen and called up, and everybody holds their acorn. You stand in front of the entire community, and you're next to what looks like an old tree, but it's not an old tree. It's actually a hidden underground storage thing. It's like a tree we made, and there's a hole in it, and it's like one of our backup acorn supplies. And so you hold this acorn and then you drop it in the hole. But before that, you look at the town and you try to look as many people in the eye as possible. And you pause and then you sing. You take part in the singing, this community song, where you sing about some of the things you've consumed and benefited from the community. And you sing this song of thanks and gratitude. And then you sing a part of the song of an apology, of like a really specific way you've not, it's shorter than it sounds. Like I'm explaining it, but it's really just a three-part short song. You know, though some people will sing longer, like Babs last year sang forever and ever and ever. But so you sing a second part, which is an apology of something you didn't do that you could have done, some choice you made that you remember. And again, this goes in, this is important. So like, if you don't do it, you get like, you pretty much get unlimited tickets for everything at the fair if you do this. And then if you don't, you get like a limited number of tickets. To spend on the rides and the games and the treats and stuff. Also, it goes into your school. Like, so it has consequences. And it's more positive consequence. Like, it's more positive than negative. So you sing the apology, and then you sing what you're going to do differently that you've learned. So what change you're going to make, and then you drop your acorn. And everybody does it, and... you know, so basically you say, thank you, I'm sorry, and I promise to do better. And it's very, very powerful and very fun, but it's also fun for the kids, you know, because we kind of laugh at one another. But we all went, all of us, we saw each other. I guess we were supposed to have heavy hearts, but we knew that Willow's album was not real. So it was only kind of embarrassing. But we more thought about it like the other people who had been mentioned in the song. So when we went to the community resource and someone would go up on stage, sometimes we would start laughing. And we'd see other people laughing because you say, oh, that was, so they were in Willow's song, you know, about, you know, the whiskers or, you know, whatever, the way they, you know, they eat their carrots or something. I don't know. So we were kind of having a good time, but we were getting shushed because we were supposed to be serious. But we were also getting a lot of looks and uncomfortable looks from people, but not as many as Dari, Francis, and Lenny. You know, Lenny was more of a distant person. So, but meanwhile, Francis was standing there and she was listening to the singing and she was thinking about Willow. And she was kind of like a little bit... gone in her mind, like thinking about memories. So she wasn't really feeling all the hard looks that she was getting from everybody in town. Because I'm sure people thought it was just kind of hanging over her head and that she should be embarrassed. And Dari was not, I'll tell you about what was Francis was thinking about, but Dari was more, she would stare people right back that were staring at her until they looked away. Dari was not going to back down. Like, Dari was like, you got to be kidding me, right? Like, you're not going to, like, judge me and my mom for my sister starting an album and moving away. Like, we've worked very hard. And she was also in the back of her mind still thinking more about Babs. Because her and Tefe were supposed to figure out where Babs was. And Babs, they had gone to visit Lenny to see if Willow was at Lenny's, which Willow was not. Then Dari came out and Babs and Tefe were kissing. They went they started driving home. Dari drove home. Then she was so irritated that she got out of the car. And then Tefe got out of the car to apologize to Dari. They came back and Babs was gone. They thought Babs went home. And meanwhile, they figured out recently that no, Babs didn't go home. She was somewhere and possibly again, unbeknownst to us or to even Leon, Babs and Teffy were looking to the fact that maybe Babs had gone with a big bunny. And if Babs had, in the back of Dari's mind, she said, maybe Willow has too. And this big bunny is has some part in all of this. So that's where, so she was mostly just glaring at people and saying, who are you? Like everybody's got to cast their acorn anyway. You know, none of us are perfect. And I think actually her glaring, because it was unspoken, actually maybe before people went up there, put in their mind, and some people actually said sorry, like, and apologized in their songs, not directly to Dari and Francis, but in a way that was clear. But probably not, you know, she should have just said, geez, sorry for just, like, judging you, Dari and Francis. I know it's not easy, and we're not perfect. Now, the other thing was, Francis was kind of staring off, and she was remembering, like, good times with Willow. And Willow had gone through this phase of writing Bards and Bunny parody music, because there was, like, these two, artists or groups of artists, like, that put out this one album together, The Double Clicks and Judy Tenuta, and they had put out a Bards and Bunnies, like an album, and so Willow had been writing a lot of Bards and Bunny parody songs of, like, some of her heroines, and she was kind of singing it at the table for her mom, and Frances said, well, geez, that sounds like an intense song. It's kind of got some edge. Willow, you're just a kid. Why would you be singing about Bad Bards was the name of the song. Bad, 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 bad Bards. And she said, doesn't it sound like that's like magic? And she goes, I'm not comfortable with my daughter singing that kind of stuff. And Willow said, Mom, sometimes, not all magic is good, and not everybody uses magical powers or any powers or community resource powers for good. And, you know, Frances was a knowing person, so she said, I know, you're right. And she goes, sometimes there's bad, bad bards. It's better we know about the bad bards and, you know, those bards could be good singers. And she said, holy cow, you're right. But she goes, maybe make the bad, bad. She goes, what about bad, bad, bad Brad Bard? And then Francis said, and then Willow said, that might be too many. But she goes, it's not supposed to be tongue twister, Mom. It's supposed to be a song. So that was what was happening with Francis and Dari. Now, eventually the ceremony ended and we all took our turns. And then the celebration started. But we were actually distracted. We were not interested for the first time ever in the rides or the games or any of that stuff. We were just thinking about this puzzle, this odd puzzle we were trying to solve of where was Willow. And we knew our favorite moose professor could help us. So we sat down at the cider where you could have cider and go nuts and cider. And we sat down at the table and we said, listen, we want to talk to you. And the professor said, okay, what do you want to talk about? And then Vaughn said, mind reading. And said, okay, well, you know, if I could read your minds, I know it wouldn't be easy. You know, if my friend put out a album goofing on me in the town. And I know, you don't have to be a mind reader to figure that out. But you might be wondering what the rest of the town's thinking and wishing they could read their minds. And I'm sure they've all had at times, maybe it more reminds them of the times their friends picked on them. And they, we said, no, 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 no. We're thinking, is telepathy real? And professor said, well, yeah, it's possible. It's possible, but it's not provable to communicate by thought. You know, there's the whole idea of extrasensory perception. And the professor went in this long talk where we almost were like dozing off about, well, just using to strength ways you could strengthen your senses, or people that are dependent on one sense because they've developed a skill with one sense because they've needed to develop a stronger use of one sense over the other. And we said, well, okay, so you could, it's possible. And the professor said, well, if you could communicate, if it was a sense that we knew about, but right now, you know, these are the senses we have, you know, sight, sound, and those kind of things. And we said, well, what would it take to do that? And said, something magical, I guess, or, you know, something as magic as evolution, but that takes a long time. And then we talked about the myth of humans and, you know, that they weren't very good caretakers of the swamp or any place, and that we needed to, like, evolve to be more community-based. Those are some of the myths that we're not taught, but that we hear about, so that things could flourish, like how we evolved to be a community that's trying to flourish and help one another flourish. And then we said, oh, okay, well, what about, like, is there, like, a tower? Do you know anything about the, like, that if something could grow, like an organic tower that could grow down and up at the same time? Like that, and you could go inside of it, and like the southern swamp is like, and the professor said, you mean like a tree, like that, like an organic thing that goes down and up, and that things live in? And we said, well, what if, well, not just a tree, that's pretty funny, professor, but we're talking about like in the, like, in the silent tower, remember the silent tower? And then the professor, of course, was playing us and said, yeah, you know, yeah, the one where the wizard found the hole, the tunnel that went down, and it was a being and then forced it to grow. And then, yeah. And they said, we said, well, how would you find something like that? And the professor said, well, like, how would you find something in the earth? And we said, well, what about a silent realm? That was the other thing. And the professor said, but maybe he didn't read closely enough that even the communicating by telepathy was putting off a vibration. And we said, what? And the professor said, you didn't read the novella about, like, and we said, well, if there was a vibration from a soundless realm, how would you find it? And the professor said, okay, well, let me tell you this other metaphor. Like, there's a place that's not like the swamp. There's places that are known as deserts and places that are arid. And remember, we were talking about this in class, and we said, yeah, yeah, we kind of remember. And he said, okay, well, one of the ideas is to find water. And he goes, and it's very similar, is divining, right? Isn't that one of the things you can do in Bards and Bunnies? And he said, you search for water and you try to find, and we said, well, you're losing us, professor. And then the professor kind of, it was like the professor kind of, I think the professor just slowly fell asleep to his own kind of talking. And then we said, well, let's rest here at the table and get some sleep too, and then we'll figure out what we're gonna do next. So we will put our heads down, even though everybody else was enjoying the community resource fair, and took a little nap. Good night. Good. I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show recently on Apple Podcasts. The Shay says, Scoots Rock, from Canada, says, Scoots Rock's the safe place. Took a few tries, but it feels like a dear, trusted friend for over a year. Grateful for the many ways to create a safe place. Intentional and generous, puts me to sleep, sometimes keeps me company. Thank you so much, Shay, for that very, very beautiful and touching review. Agent S says, WARNING podcast may cause you to be drowsy. As someone who's dealt with fragmented sleep most of my adult life, naturally I was skeptical. It took me some time to find out how to make the podcast work for me. I don't usually fall asleep to it. Rather, it keeps me company and helps me pass the time when I can't get back to sleep, making the night less lonely. Some episodes are entertaining, while others are like listening to a clothes dryer, which is a good thing. Thanks, Agent S. Dar 2 from the Netherlands says, wonderful and a lifesaver. It helps relax my mind. Scoots does a trick. There's somebody that doesn't like the pie. Then Snorway says, doesn't work for everyone. It took me a bit to find this podcast. I was avoiding it because it popped up so much, but it works wonders. Perfect balance of intention, grabbing, and boring. Keep it up. Lulu0118, exclamation, says, love, love, love. Been listening for years. Love the tangents. And it goes on, thanks. Diamond Footprints says, great content, but intros are getting longer and longer. They don't like the ads. They can't relax to 20 minutes ads, which, so I guess maybe they're not listening to the, I don't know, actually listening to the intros. Or you could support the show on Patreon, just $5 a month to get ad-free episodes. Derp, 5-9, says, helps you get to sleep. At first, I did not enjoy this podcast. I thought it was going to magically put you to sleep, but it doesn't, and that's okay, because he's there for you to fall asleep. KRFM88, what's this magic? Don't know how Scoots does it, but the podcast is always magic. Gets funny. You get funny looks when you mention it to noobs, but they come back saying how it worked. Definitely give it a chance. It works well to entertain you and relax you for sleep. I love the episodes that are intro only. I rarely make it past 15. And then Annalie from Australia says, best thing ever to fall asleep. As expected for reading the reviews. Took me a couple of listens to get the gist of it, and then it sent me off to a sleepy headspace. Thanks. Thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show. Sleep with Me grows as a podcast for free by people sharing their natural experience with the show in person and online. And then we exist as a free podcast because people that support the show directly on Patreon or support our sponsors. So thank you, everybody that does both those things. And that's it. There's one more thing. Here's something I want you to know about. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10- to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs an extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15 year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.